Welcome to Test Don't Guess, the podcast created for unlicensed health practitioners who love chatting about functional lab testing. I'm Jensen, your host. I'm a functional nutritional therapy practitioner, developer of the HTMA analysis app, and creator of the Instant HTMA professional course. But here, I'm just your curious colleague who wants to know all about the functional lab tests that you're using, how you learn to properly interpret them, and how incorporating labs has impacted your confidence and your practice. In this season of Test Don't Guess, we're going to talk with practitioners, course creators, and lab experts to help you navigate the world of functional testing, and I am super glad you're here. Remember, this is a podcast intended for learning purposes only, and it does not provide professional legal or medical advice. Hello, Amy. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. I am so excited to be talking with you today and having you share about your experience of being a practitioner who also uses labs.
Thank you, Jensen. I'm so happy to be here and I appreciate you reaching out and having
me on. Yeah, no problem. Yeah, I love having all kinds of practitioners with different backgrounds and niches join me on the podcast just because while we all have a lot in common where we obviously love helping people feel better with functional medicine and by using functional testing, every practitioner structures things so differently. And I know that we can learn a lot from each other. So, you know, today we're going to be talking about your experience with a recent client where testing allowed you to go down a different path than you originally thought. But I also thought it would be really fun to learn more about your experience with SAFM, the School of Applied Functional Medicine, just because that is a school that has been on my radar literally ever since I stumbled upon it online. I have been on their email list. I'm like so on board and so interested. I just haven't, you know, taken the plunge. And I think a lot of our community is in the same boat there because I know it is a big commitment. And so I'm hoping to talk with you more about that and then also dive behind the curtain a bit on how your practice is structured and what's been working well for you lately, because for anybody who's listening to this, Amy's website is beautiful. And so it's just so well structured. And so as I was diving into that and like learning more about you, I was like, oh my gosh, I just have so many questions. So without further ado, how did you get into using labs in your practice?
So that more came from personal experience, having labs run on myself before even stepping into myself coaching and just being really intrigued. That's the whole like path that got me down this path of functional medicine was just my own health. And I think a lot of people resonate with that. So I'd already had experience on doing some of the lab work on myself with another coach and just really liked the insight it provided. And also that, you know, the doctors weren't doing these types of testing and getting the same information.
Sure. Yeah, I completely understand that. I mean, I know a lot of us have the same experience there of like dealing with our own health and then somehow finding out about even just one of the tests, getting it run. And you're like, wait a second. Like, why did nobody mention this to me before? Was there a specific test for you that stood out as like, oh, this really answers questions for me?
Well, my two favorites are the Dutch test and the GI map. The first one I ever ran, and not me, but with a coach, was the Dutch test. And when they showed me my cortisol curve, I was like, ah, that explains a lot.
Yeah.
Because it was not very high. And to have that validation of like, okay, like this is how our body works. And they can show me that on this piece of paper on this test was helped me just understand like, okay, I do need to step back. I do need to take time to care for myself. Like this is proof. This is showing it and a way for us to track progress as well. So being able to go back and retest and see that things are, you know, slowly improving.
Sure. Yeah. I think the Dutch test for me was the one that I'd always heard of when I wasn't even a practitioner. The Dutch is so interesting and definitely gives such good insight. So you use the GI map and Dutch testing. And what other tests do you use in your own practice?
For functional testing, those two and the HTMA, I have access to other testing that I don't necessarily I don't think they're starting points, like doing food sensitivity testing. Try to think of some other ones that I've ran more often. But I think the GI map, the Dutch chest, and the HTMA, and then I also do blood work. So I actually, and we might get into this later, prefer to do a comprehensive blood panel before doing any of the other testing, because it can show us a lot. It can give us a place to start from. And it might allow us to make some strides in the client's health wellness goals before having to invest extra, you know, the money, like you said, in those other tests.
Yeah, absolutely. Talk with me more about this client, this recent client where testing allowed you to go down a different path than you originally thought.
So she came to me, her biggest complaint was that she had these really severe, heavy bleeding during her menstrual cycle, usually like the first day or two. And it was bad enough that she was getting iron transfusions from whoever she was working with at the time. And then she was on medication to help with her symptoms, but then the medication was giving her migraines. And so she didn't tolerate medication. She just feeling like really fatigued and frustrated with her care and her health. And so, you know, I immediately thought, okay, we have low iron, we have heavy bleeding, we have low iron, probably have estrogen dominant issues going on. That was my first, you know, that's what I'm thinking. So we ran, she knew, she herself was kind of in this industry, so she was somewhat familiar with some of the functional testing. And so normally I wouldn't have probably done Dutch right away, but we did blood test, the Dutch test, and her GI map all at once, so that we were able to get a picture of it all at the same time instead of it spread out. And so her iron was actually really high, and she hadn't had a transfusion for, I think, over a year. So I thought that was odd that it was still high. And from what I understood, her former practitioner was only checking ferritin and kept saying it was low.
Oh, wow.
And so she was getting these transfusions. And then the Dutch test came back, and I thought she would be estrogen dominant, either high estrogen or relative to the progesterone. And her progesterone was great, but her estrogens were low. I thought, okay, how can that be? And I looked at to see like if she was just blowing through the estrogen that she was making. The pathways that we can see on the Dutch test are really helpful to see if there's blockages in our detox ability for estrogen. And all of that, like she was really good at methylating. She was really good at detoxing her estrogen. So I'm like, maybe it's a production issue. That's kind of where we stopped with it. I said, we need to work on some foundations. Your GI map showed low bacteria, like low good bacteria in her gut and inflammation. Mm. And she shares about how stressed she is in her life. So there's a lot of like low hanging fruit, foundational things that she needs to work on initially, that I was like, let's get some of these things in check, because you might see improvements in your health and the goals that she has set for her, because if we start focusing on some of the things that she kind of knew she had to work on, you know, but needed the proof and the testing and someone to tell her. So that's where I'm at with her. But like, I would have maybe put her on, recommended some iron or, you know, vitamins or supplements or cofactors around boosting iron or iron support, whereas she didn't necessarily need that. And estrogen dominant symptoms, I think first thing people go to is let's put you on DIM or broccoli sprouts or something to help you detox your estrogen because of all these symptoms you're having. And here she didn't need that. And it probably would have made her feel worse had we done something like that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's just so telling that we can think that we know just based on symptoms. And I think it's wonderful to have like the questionnaires that we have and all of these different other resources. But then when we get the actual data back, and I never want to say that we need to only be following the data either. It's always a full picture, of course.
Yeah.
But when we get that data back and it's like the complete opposite of what we would have guessed, it's just so interesting. It's so validating. And it's so helpful usually for the client, because then you're not wasting time going down the wrong path and potentially recommending something that not that it would have been harmful, but just wouldn't have maybe made as much of a difference to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And so how did she, how was her reaction to, you know, seeing the test results and then kind of going back to the foundations?
So I think she appreciated that we dug deeper than the people, whoever she had worked with prior. And I don't know if that was just because they didn't feel it was necessary or she just wasn't in the right hands, but it was encouraging to her to actually have some, I guess, proof of where her body is and to be able to understand that she needs to, they were pointing to areas in her life that she's like, I know I need to work on these, but this is now validating that and giving her the motivation she needs to make some changes in her life.
Yeah. And so even with all of this data and us knowing all of this now, what were some of like the first foundational recommendations that you made to her and kind of broke it down into smaller bite-sized pieces?
Yeah. So I don't usually like to say, you know, everybody like make one protocol and it can apply to everybody. But typically with these foundational pillars, most people need to work on something in each one. And the five that I lean on most initially when I start working with clients are stress, sleep hygiene, eating hygiene, balancing blood sugar, and toxin burden. And those I have like some videos that they get, like modules that they get. And the first month I'm like, well, this is what we're going to work on. We're not going to go down, you know, all these other crazy things. Like, we need to address these because you're not going to see shifts and you're not going to be able to do the deeper work if you don't have these five pillars kind of dialed in.
Right, right. If we're not sleeping, if we're not, you know, doing all of like the basic things, there's no use in trying to figure out the estrogen pathways and trying to, you know, fix things based on those, right?
Right, right, exactly.
Yeah. Have you ever found yourself feeling like everyone is speaking a secret language? Trust me, I have been there. I vividly remembered feeling major imposter syndrome as I saw practitioners throwing around terms like GI map and mycotox profile and HTMA test. And I'm thinking, did I miss something? Turns out the more seasoned practitioners knew something that I didn't know. They knew that as holistic health practitioners, we are able to use our certifications to get access to various lab companies so that we can use all kinds of different lab testing with our clients that will ultimately help guide our recommendations. And side note, this made my data-loving brain so excited. As someone who color-coded their own blood results in a massive Excel sheet for years, I knew I was meant to use lab data with my clients. But then the questions hit. Which lab companies accept unlicensed health practitioners? And what tests are even available to me? How do I learn to interpret the lab results? How does it all work? And so that's why I created the ultimate free resource that I wish existed during my own quest for these answers. Just DM me the word lab guide on Instagram at testdontguess or click the link in the show notes below to instantly access our totally free unlicensed practitioner's guide to functional lab testing. This is the resource you've been looking for if you're new to functional testing or you want to make sure that you're aware of the different options that are available. So grab this guide and you'll be able to navigate the wild, wild west of functional lab testing like a seasoned pro. And so I know you had mentioned that you're in the beginning stages of working with this client. Is she a part of one of your bigger programs?
So she's working with me for 3 months right now. Initially, we did her testing and then we're going through some coaching calls. And then from there, the 3 months is really going to solidify some of those foundational things, getting her into some good habits and having her start to see wins. And then from there, she'll have the choice of if she feels that she is, you know, able to move forward on her own or if she needs continued support. And so I have like a maintenance program and I wouldn't say she'll be in maintenance by month three, but it's a continued supportive program where we can do further calls every month. She can access testing at a discount as, you know, a client of mine. And so that will be made available for her depending on where she feels she's at in that 3 months.
Nice. That's perfect. So I noticed a few interesting things about the services that you offer, just the packages and all of that. You know, Everybody's always trying to figure out what to offer and how to offer it and how to provide support and all of that. And so I noticed that in your like main signature program that you offer weekly office hours with unlimited messaging. How does that work?
Yeah. So I use an app called Voxer, and it's like a texting walkie-talkie kind of app. And so I get the client and me connected on that app. And then I check that throughout the day during my office hours. So when I onboard my clients, they will get an email letting them know what my schedule is. And that if they need like a quick question answered, they can message me. It's just like they would text me. I just try to keep, at one point people were texting me and I couldn't keep straight who was a client, who wasn't, yeah, and being able to go back through our conversations. So I keep just work stuff all on that app. And I think there's other apps out there that can do something similar, or there's other programs that have text messaging features. And so I just do it that way. They can email me too, and they'll probably get a quick response as well, but I'm open to them messaging me. And the reason why I do that, and I always offer more support if they need it, but I don't want to over schedule myself every month and say, let's do weekly calls, because not a lot changes in the week. And usually they just have these quick questions that I can answer quickly. I don't have to be face ready for us to do a Zoom call or anything like that. And so it allows me to have more time and flexibility away from the computer and the phone to answer those quick questions.
Yeah, and not into a calendar.
Of, you know, scheduling those. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's perfect. Because I know a lot of people use Voxer just for like the voice feature, basically, of like walkie-talkie type things. But I love that you're using it for the chat and just giving that access. And then you're able to answer the questions as they come in.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that I noticed was the private, you offer a private group coaching with a transformative life coach. How does that work?
Okay. So I partnered with a somatic coach, and usually clients will come in, and I feel like, again, like kind of with it, almost should be like a sixth pillar is mindset, because they learn so much in that first month or even just coming in. And I'm asking them to literally change things in their life that aren't serving them. And it's really, you know, it's hard for people to decide, is this worth it? Do I want to feel better, or do I like the way I'm living? Or, you know, whatever changes I'm asking them to do, it's not easy. And to do it just by me telling them they should isn't necessarily motivating enough, where they have to work through why are they doing this? What is it, you know, what are they hoping to get out of that? Like digging deeper than maybe I cannot take them. So I wanted to bring on someone who could go through that with them in the initial stages to set themselves up. Because once they like get started and they see results, that's definitely motivating. But in the beginning, you kind of have to work through some of those mind blocks. Mm-hmm. And I thought that would be really beneficial for clients.
That's great. How did you find this person to partner with?
So I'm all about networking. I think being a military spouse has brought out my introvertedness to force me to connect with people. And she's actually local here in Tampa where I'm from, but works similar with me, like virtually, does virtual calls, Zoom calls, things like that. So I just am a huge advocate in connecting with your community, finding ways to collaborate and support one another, especially when you're in a like-minded field, like what she's doing. It's not exactly what I'm doing, but there's a way that we can support each other and support each other's clients. So that's that's a big thing, is that collaboration piece.
Yeah, I absolutely love that, because I think a lot of times we get wrapped up in, okay, now we know that the mindset piece is really big and we want it to be, let's say, that sixth pillar. And then we think, oh, I need to now become an expert in that too. And then it goes down, you know, the whole, like, I need to do more education. I need to learn that and add it in. And when it's even, I feel like, even better to find somebody to partner with and be able to share clients and, you know, just work together, and that they do the thing that they're really good at and you do the thing that you're really good at. And then you're not feeling so torn between the two areas. Is that how it's been for you?
Yes, exactly. And I still have other ideas of how I'd love to maybe bring in someone who's good with movement that could do some like mini like movement, not workouts per se, but just something that could be supportive. And then also nutrition wise, I don't feel like I'm an expert in that area, but a nutritionist would be, or a dietitian would be, and have like a meal planning or something like that. And then, you know, they're not offering their full services. They might give me something that maybe is a digital download that my clients can have access to, or it might be actually an hourly, some sort of service. But then if that client feels like that part was really helpful and they want to dig deeper and to do more with that particular person, then they're also free to pursue that if they want further support in that area.
Yes.
So it gives that the other practitioner kind of it's kind of marketing for them in a sense, like, hey, you get this little bit with this practitioner, but they're also available for further deeper support should you feel like that's helpful.
Yeah, it makes so much sense. And I hope, I mean, one of the main reasons that I have, or that I started the Test and Guess Facebook community, is hopefully for practitioners to be able to connect with each other for those types of things. And so going back to testing, if somebody's really good at the Dutch test and then they don't have training on the GI map yet, finding somebody who they can refer to. And like, it's just, I just am so hopeful for this community for us to be able to grow outward, you know, and just be able to help as many people as possible with our specific strengths, and hopefully not feeling like we have to know everything and be everything to everyone. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's actually, and I forgot about this, but the health coach that I initially worked with, she wanted to run the Dutch test, but she didn't personally interpret them. So she connected me with a nurse practitioner that she partners with. So all her clients filter through the nurse practitioner for the Dutch test portion. And then she gets the report. And then, you know, I go back to the health coach and work with her after that. But yeah, it can totally look like that. You don't have to be all and do all for sure.
Yeah.
And collaboration is great.
Yeah. When someone sends me two HTMA tests and asks why they haven't seen much change, my first question is always, are you using Vicon? Vicon is the supplement company that I truly can't stop talking about inside our Instant HTMA professional community. And here's why. With Vicon, you're able to customize a supplement blend based on your client's HTMA test, complete with the client's name printed right on the label. So no more generic solutions or piecing together massive, complicated, and expensive protocols. Practitioners love Vicon because it wipes out supplement fatigue, which leads to real, tangible results. And clients love it because it's so simple to take, whether they choose the powder or the pills. And most importantly, they're able to experience the magic of getting the right nutrients along with crucial cofactors for their body. All you have to do as the practitioner is choose a base formula, customize it using over 25 different properly sourced options like extra potassium or liver support. And you can even whip up a custom prenatal or support breastfeeding moms. The possibilities are truly endless. And then just to make sure that the blend is perfect, you can always set up a quick consult with the amazing Vicon team, and they are happy to help. So if you're ready to revolutionize your approach to supplementation, grab our free Vicon guide and sign up for your own free Vicon account and let them know that you heard about it from Test Don't Guess. Check out the link in the show notes to get started. So Let's talk about the School of Applied Functional Medicine. How did you find out about it?
So I was looking into programs. I actually thought I was going to do the NTA, believe it or not. I was like pretty set on it. And then a nurse practitioner friend of mine was sharing how she had just gone through like the first half of the School of Applied Functional Medicine. And so I looked at that and immediately just felt like I resonated more with it. It was going to go deeper. It was going to be more thorough in my eyes. And so when I inquired about it, I had actually looked on Instagram, I think, to find other people who had gone through the program just to get their two cents on how they felt about it. And my background's in nursing, and I hadn't worked as a nurse for about 6 years when I decided to get back into this business. And I messaged someone who had gone to SAFM out of IIN, Institute for Integrative Nutrition, right? I think. So someone that didn't have like a huge medical background, like versus, you know, a doctor or chiropractor or something. And she said, well, it's a great school, but you'll probably feel like you're drinking from the fire hose. It's like, all right, I gotcha. But I just like felt so called to it. It just felt everything that they had to offer was like, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to learn. That's what I want to know. And it really like, I would say it's a lot. There's doctors and nurse practitioners and chiropractors that go through this program to align their practices to be more functional. But when you just resonate with something so much, it was more just like these aha moments and this like these like moments where your mind is blown, kind of like, wow. I kept saying wow all the time.
She just started to
click. It was just so good. So yeah, when it felt right, I felt like my nursing background gave me enough of the medical physiology background that I could keep up, and I did, and it was so good.
Did you feel like it was really heavy science-based?
Yes, I would say yes. I think everyone should come in if they're interested having somewhat of a good understanding of like anatomy, physiology background. But the instructor, her name's Tracy, who started the school and does the teaching, she has this flow when she's teaching of building upon concepts. So yes, they're very deep dives into things, but she builds upon things so that it makes sense as you go. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, that's fantastic. I don't think that can be said about a lot of programs. So I think that's very telling for her as a teacher.
Yeah, and the whole program and the different levels, you can't go through one until you've done enough. Like one will open, a module will open once you completed the module prior. And within the modules, she layers like that in her teaching, but throughout the whole program, it's layered so that what you have from module one, you're going to take into module two and take into module three and so forth, so that you're layering in all that information.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What's the community like?
So we have a practitioner forum that's hosted on Facebook for anyone that's currently enrolled. Or once your enrollment time period is up and you've passed your certification, then you can be a part of they call it an incubator program. So basically just staying connected into the forum and all their resources. So that's probably the most active part of the community. Then they do calls every month, two calls a month, maybe more. That they do case study deep dives. So a student will bring in a case and they go through it. They're 2 hour long calls, really, really, really good in-depth calls. And so you can participate in those You have to participate in those as a student to earn credits towards your certification. And then they will continue to do that to maintain your certification as well. And I know they do retreats. They've done a few retreats, like in-person retreats. I don't know when the next one will be, but they've been doing those the last couple of years also.
Okay. So I know you mentioned that there's chiropractors and doctors and nurses and just all types of like professionals in the community that you've noticed. Would you say that most people are running like one-on-one practices like what you're doing?
So I don't know a ton. Well, the best way to answer this is they have everybody. It's a better way to answer this. They have brick and mortar, one-on-one practices, virtual practices. There's even like people that are pharmacists that are coming in and want to somehow apply functional medicine to that practice. So, you know, everyone's practice even looks different. And so they've realized that people are coming in saying, okay, you've given me all this knowledge, but now how do I apply this in practice? Or, you know, what does it look like to build a practice? And so they do have some programs now that help if you want to apply this more in a brick and mortar space, back in a clinic, or if you want to go like an entrepreneurial route and have your own practice, what would that look like? And so they have some different programs built out to help you kind of navigate that part.
That's great.
As well. And they're growing in that this spring, they launched a deeper program, still kind of around that, like, where do we go from here type of situation, like once I have my certification, now mm-hmm. what? So they're seeing that people need that support. And the other thing we talked about earlier with collaboration, I think there's some of the other schools, most schools have this, but they have a directory on their website where you can look up other practitioners that are all over the world. And so you could look up a certain location, like I'm moving. So I was looking at if there were practitioners in the city that I'm moving to that I could connect with. And then as a practitioner, we could put on there if we want to collaborate, if we're looking for jobs, if we want a study buddy, if we're still, you know, at that point. So there's an opportunity to collaborate and network and support each other outside of the school as well.
I love that. I love that there's a directory. That's so helpful.
Yeah.
That's great. And what would you say is there on testing? Like, do you learn how to interpret any of the functional tests in SAFM?
So the stance on testing, like first and foremost, and I hope I get this right. If they're ever listening.
Obviously unofficial. your experience.
Yeah. From my is that they are so thorough in the body systems and everything, and to understand like how to piece together a client and what they're going through, that the testing part should just be secondary or tertiary to all the other information they're able to provide, and to not lean on the testing. Mm. And I think ultimately that makes us a really good practitioner when we don't necessarily have to have the numbers in front of us in order to understand what this client is going through. So when we go through, when she goes through case studies, we won't look at testing first. We go through the health history basically first. And the thing that they do is she has a form that we fill out that we just kind of almost brain dump and scribble out and map out all the things that this client is maybe dealing with. And then we look at what could be interconnected, what could be causing what. And we get a real sense of like, or of suspicions or whatever, of like what we think could be going on. And then we open up the lab work and say, okay, does this support our what we think might be happening? Mm. You know, what can we glean now that we've really dug in and we've used our mind in our training? And so as far as testing goes and what they teach, there is some dives into blood work in the testing. There are some course deep dives and courses, I think they're called, that you can pay a little bit extra for depending on what you want to specifically focus on. So one of them is women's hormones, women's health, that she goes into the Dutch test, but not everybody needs that for their practice. Right. So it's not included in the main program. So you have the opportunity to do some of those more targeted testing courses that you can pick and choose from. And you can do that during your regular program, programming.
Yeah, I think that's great. And I especially love how you mentioned basically starting with obviously the health history and taking the time to really deep dive that, because I think sometimes we can get rushed and it's like, we're just going to look at it all together. And I think just the thought of really separating those two components, those two puzzle pieces, is really important, because I think sometimes we can fall into that, oh, the lab says this, this is what we need to do. And then on the other side, sometimes we fall into, the health history is showing this, let's just move on from there. And so I just really like the idea of separating those two pieces, I guess, and not doing it all at once. I don't think I've ever heard it mentioned in that way, even though it feels pretty, you know, foundational and fundamental. But I mean, it makes a lot of sense to me right now.
Yeah. And I think, like, with this client I was describing earlier, she had already done some work with herself. So she was kind of at the point where she was ready to do more testing, where I wouldn't normally say, well, let's do two functional tests and blood work, you know, and that's a lot of money. That's a lot to, like, take in. And it can be very overwhelming when, like, I knew, going back to those functional or those foundational pillars, like, there were things we already could be working on. And I want her to feel like she's having wins and feeling success in her journey. And, you know, if we have too much to start with at the beginning, that can just feel daunting and overwhelming and hard to find a place to start. So I like, initially, if I'm starting with a client, to get their health history, do some blood work, and just start there. And then let them guide us to where we need to go next, instead of just doing all the testing first. Yeah. But everybody's different. So it kind of depends on where they're coming from, what they need, what will keep them accountable, you know. So I'm always open to evaluating that. Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. And again, I mean, we all do this differently. And that's why I love having this podcast and talking with different practitioners about what they're doing, what's working, what they, you know, which test they start with, because literally everybody does it differently. Some people love having the practice where they're like, you know what, we're going to run everything and then we're going to go from there. And then some people are like, I think we're just going to start with blood work, or we're just going to do foundations. And then in a month, we'll start talking about testing. And there's just so many ways to do it. It's been a really fun conversation. So thank you so much for being here with me. All right, that is it for today. Thank you so much for joining. You can find me at Test Don't Guess on Instagram or testdontguess.org. Or you can check out the free private Facebook group called Test Don't Guess Functional Lab Chats to go ahead and continue this conversation. So until next time, always keep learning and stay curious.